Good morning, members and the officials from the Department of Trade and Industry. We welcome you to our first encounter this year. We'll be meeting many officials from the department, but we're all from different durations. So we still have to meet on your budget and your policies and whatever for 2026 and we hope to engage quite soon so that we prepare ourselves. You know that not all members of our committee are here today. It would be so because I know Mpumalanga's briefing is today. We have this piece of legislation that's in front of us now, the electricity bill. It's a Section 76 bill, therefore we have to consult our provinces. We therefore want to apologize on their behalf. And when I said this is just a briefing for today so that you understand this. As it is a Section 76 bill as well, it will go the same processes like the electricity bill. We will have public hearings in our provinces and do whatever so that we make sure that people comment, even though it there will be sort of problems, but it's not for public comment, but when we go when it comes finally to us, we'll go the same route of public hearings as well. So we'll to cover parliament and our legislation as well. And to make sure that we consult as widely as we can. So that I don't waste your time and our time. No, people want to, two members are serving in finance, so they must go as well. So if we could start the meeting. Thank you very much. But let me just tell you who we are. I'm not the only one, I'm the chair of the committee, and I represent the Western Cape Indian Association.
I'm Dixon Nkono. I come from the Eastern Cape. You are?
I'm Zoyne Nkolan. I'm coming from North West.
Thank you, Ms. Chair, and thank you to the committee members for availing themselves to hear us on what we're presenting today, which is the National Gambling Amendment Bill. My name is Brian Mutwa. I'm from the DJI, and I've got two colleagues who will be assisting me in this presentation and to answer any questions that that may come out of it. The one on the left here is Evelyn Masoncha, and on the right I've got Mpho Mosingo for the assisting us here. And we've got other two colleagues here who will want to familiarize themselves with the processes in Parliament so that when they are required to undertake this exercise, then they will be ready. If I may start, I'll start with the objective of this bill. We call it the National Gambling Amendment Bill. It seeks to introduce interactive gambling within the gambling regulatory framework of the Republic. What has been observed is that interactive gambling, which I may maybe quickly explain to mean roughly online gambling. It's more like your casino online, which makes available most of the games that you normally play in the casino, your land-based casino. You're able to play them online on the internet. So basically, one of the instruments that you will have to have to be able to participate in this game is access to the internet. What has been observed is that you have got a number of South Africans that are currently gambling online with international gambling sites. The Gambling Act currently prohibits interactive gambling. And this amendment seeks to legalize it and regulate it to ensure its proper regulation. What was considered was in deciding on whether to continue with the prohibition of interactive gambling or legalize it was issues like the course of prohibition, which in terms of the research that was conducted, it indicated that it will be inadvisable to prohibit it, since you then have to employ a lot of resources to ensure that it is quashed, you know, whenever it raises its head. And the numbers of people that gamble online seem to be increasing, and one also accept that this is a phenomenon now internationally, that it is going to be increasingly difficult to just ignore it or think that you will, you know, effectively prohibit. So hence the decision to allow it and to have it conducted within the proper a regulated framework. Another reason which was which made the department arrive at this decision to regulate it is that you have currently, like I indicated, a number of people who play on the internet, but unfortunately some, since it is an illegal activity in the country, you have a situation where people create sites which are interactive gambling sites, but they are illegal, and people start playing on those sites and they lose their money, and there is no redress that they can get from government or any institution because they are engaging in an illegal activity. And what we felt is as a responsible government, we have to also protect our players, even if we need to protect them. If we legalize it, we have to legalize it, then we have to put in place measures to protect them. The other consideration was that with the people gambling on this site and people creating this site, there is a lot of revenue, in the sense that there is taxation that's supposed to accrue to government, but since this activity is being conducted illegally, then obviously there are no means of ensuring that there is revenue arising of activity that accrues to government. And obviously, you know, the money that people make, they spend overseas, and it was felt like that you would rather have the money spent in the country if there are proper sites that are like that. The National Gambling Act, the act as it stands now, requires the minister to introduce into parliament in 3 years of the passing of the promulgation of the legislation, the regulation of terrorist gambling. It's in terms of item five of the schedule, which says he will have to introduce that. What happened is when the Gambling Act was passed, a research on the implication of interest gambling was not finalized. So a decision was undertaken that it will not form part of the Gambling Act that was being considered then, but then they will put a provision in the Act to say that the minister will be given 2 years to undertake the necessary research on the implications of it, the pros and cons, and then introduce interactive gambling then to the Republic. A research committee was then established by the National Gambling Board to investigate the implication of regulation of interest gambling within the Republic. The research committee finalized the report in October 2005, which report was tabled before the National Gambling Policy Council also in 2005. Then the National Gambling Policy Council resulted in the DTI prepared a draft policy framework and legislation to regulate interactive gambling in line with the recommendations of the research report. The draft bill then, which was prepared subsequent to the directive of the National Gambling Policy Council, was submitted to Cabinet and was approved for public consultation in December 2006. And it was then published, the bill was then published in December for public comment, and the comment period closed a week ago. The department now is in the process of considering the comments and reviewing them to incorporate whatever input we feel will assist in developing a responsible gambling framework. The research report that I mentioned before, which was commissioned by the National Gambling Board, identified a number of key areas which needed to be looked at for regulation purposes. One of the areas was competitiveness with global gaming jurisdiction, the flow of funds, employment, protection of vulnerable persons, addiction to gambling, exposure to money laundering and organized crime, competition within the local gambling industry, as well as the cost of regulation. We'll cover most of them in the slides that are going to come up. The approach which we undertook was to introduce interactive gambling by way of an amendment to the National Gambling Act, as opposed to a separate piece of legislation. The way we had to make a decision as to whether we come up with an independent piece of legislation to regulate gambling or to just incorporate into the existing gambling act. The policy then on intergaming recommended that intergaming should form part of the broad policy for the regulation of all forms of gambling and be subjected to the general administrative and oversight role of the board rather than creating a separate regulatory authority for interactive gambling. One of the reasons was that the existing regulatory regime in terms of the National Gambling Act largely applied to all forms of gambling, including interactive gambling. So it was felt inadvisable to come up with a new legislation that is going to deal with most of what is already covered in the existing legislation. The scheme of the bill it doesn't cover everything, but it just seeks to give a sense to the members of what the scope of the regulation will be. So the bill inserts certain definitions relating to interactive gambling. It makes provision for interactive games and it makes provision for player protection, advertising, licensing, compliance and enforcement, problem gambling, money laundering, empowerment. These areas which are covered in the scheme of the bill are informed by the report of the committee that was able to research it to say this bill should cover this area so that there is effective and proper regulation of this area. We inserted a number of new definitions. Listed just a few just to indicate the new the things that will need to be taken care of. We define the interactive gambling equipment and software because it is separate, it is distinct from the equipment that is used in the land base. So we felt it should be clear what equipment we're talking about, because further down we notice that there will be a lot of will there be issues relating to testing of this equipment and software. And then we make provision for the registered player. What we're effectively saying is that anyone who will access the gambling facilities will be a registered person. So what we're saying is that not everyone that has got access to the internet will be able to play, to gamble online. They will have to be registered after all the verification processes have been undertaken. And the person who plays too will have to have an account that is nominated account, say your standard bank account. That account which will be used for the transfer and the flow fund. That goes to also the protection against ensuring that there is the likelihood of money laundering is minimized to a large extent, because all the accounts would have been verified and would have been fiscal, there would have been an insurance that they are compliant with FICA. And we're going to also establish a player account, which is going to be an account, more like an online account, which will be an account that will be created but sitting online with the internet provider. That is the account that you're going to use to transact online. So the scheme effectively is that you're going to have an account that is with the internet provider, that is the gambling house, the online gambling house that you're going to create. That account, you're going to put the money from your nominated account, from your bank account, transfer to that account, and then if they are winning, that needs to be paid. They are paid only to that account, and then can only be transferred into the account that you have nominated. This system to us ensures that you don't have money only go to accounts that are registered, and that will ensure that the money trail will be easily detected. You don't have money that are going to go to some other, accounts that are not in the system. So everything in terms of the money trail will be detected easily, because the accounts are registered and the accounts are easily accessible. So all the money that go in and out will be clearly traced. And in terms of the definition too, since this activity takes place online, we have ensured consistency with the Electronic Communication and Transaction Act, which seems to regulate, all the transactions that take place online. The provision of this bill establishes a lawful basis for the provision, regulation, and control of interactive rules in the Republic. Like, as I mentioned earlier, that interactive rules is currently prohibited. It's not lawful, to conduct either as a provider or as a player to be involved in interactive rules. But then this bill creates that space now for interactive rules to be conducted lawfully within the Republic, but also measure to regulate it and control it so that the negative effects are minimized. It provides for authorized forms of electronic communication for purposes of interactive gambling. Some people have there is a misconception that if you have a cell phone, then you're going to be able to gamble online. But then the minister is going to authorize all the accepted forms of electronic rules then can be used for the purposes of internet, so that it's not accessible to vulnerable people or minors or people that are not fit really to be able to gamble online. Also, the minister will provide will prescribe authorized game systems and methods. Not all the games that need to be played will have to be authorized by the minister after having looked at them to see whether they are safe and all the verifications have taken place. Player protection, as I indicated earlier, we're going to have a system of registration of players. Any person who wants to conduct interactive gambling online, they will have to register online. But after registering online, they will have to specify SICA requirements in terms of producing their identification, their utility bill, as we normally do when you open accounts at the bank itself, to ensure that you are the person that you think you are. And of course, then the registration process will culminate in the establishment of the account with the interactive provider, which will be used for the payment of all monies and for all the transactions and which take place. And the scheme also, the bill also provides for the payment of wages and prices, like I indicated, you know, through the medium of this player account and denominated account. And also, since it is an activity that is connected online, one accepts that there will be in people from outside the country that will be able to accept it, and there to be a system in terms of which they are able to get payment for their monies and provisions for the remittance of money to them, or even the companies who are international companies that they will want to operate as intelligent providers, also they are provisions to make sure that they are regulated properly. And also the bill provides for dispute resolution. Like I indicated earlier, if the people that play now, they don't have any remedy if they are treated badly, or the sites that they play with are not, you know, giving them proper service. But now the gambling board, which is going to administer this act, is going to be responsible for the administrative and all the enforcement measures in terms of the act, will also serve as a dispute resolution institution to resolve whatever dispute arises between the player and the interest provider or any other people that are involved in the interest gambling industry. On the advertising, what we're saying is that the existing provisions in respect of advertising in the National Gambling Act will apply to interactive gambling. An example will be an advertisement to carry notice of dangers of addictive and compulsory gambling. Currently, there is the requirement that land-based casinos will have to have like notices to indicate, you know, to tell people of the dangers of addictive and compulsive gambling. Over and above that, we're going to look at other measures to ensure that people are aware of the dangers of gambling and the addiction, the problems of addiction, and how they will have to go about just to test themselves to find out whether they are addicted or not, and also to provide for the treatment, their treatment and an indication as to where they would have to go to if they find themselves in the addicted. We also providing for only licensed interactive providers to advertise, because currently, I mean, no one is allowed to advertise, but we think we're going to limit the right to advertise to only people that are licensed by the gambling board, and then obviously to do the advertising in line with the provisions of the Act and the regulations or any other conditions of license. The minister will also prescribe the content which may be reflected on the Internet Gaming website, which might go a long way also to ensure that interactive gambling is not advertised to the minors, or encourage, you know, vulnerable persons to play on the internet. The licensing, in terms of the scheme, the licenses will be issued as a national license. The simple reason is that the interactive gambling will essentially be a borderless activity. It is simply exists on the internet, so provincial licensing will not work in this instance. Inter-regional licenses include operator licenses and personal licenses. The licenses for personnel will be licenses for key employees and management staff. And also the gambling devices will be licensed, your internet gambling software and the equipment also will be licensed. In terms of compliance and enforcement, the National Gambling Board is responsible to ensure compliance with the National Gambling Act and the conditions of license. We're saying the National Gambling Act, since this bill once approved, it will be incorporated into the Act, and then they will, you know, ensure that, you know, all the compliance is done. They also responsible to supervise and enforce compliance with by licensees with FICA, the Financial Intelligence Center. FICA normally provides for what documentation is needed to ensure that there is money laundering taking place in the country. That's basically they are a trust of responsibility. The board will also be able to conduct inspections in respect of intergovernmental websites and premises where equipment and software is located. The board will also may revoke or suspend licenses in respect of internet gambling for any non-compliance by the interactive providers. The board may delegate, and it is encouraged actually to delegate its enforcement and compliance powers to the provincial licensing authorities. So there will be a system of through cooperative governance, you know, to ensure that the enforcement and compliance will be administered at the provincial level. Under problem gambling, we're saying that the scheme provides for a system to be put in place, an electronic system to monitor and report registered players. This system, it will be much more easy since it is an online facility to prep that electronic system. We're saying that it is easy because all the activities of the registered players will be recorded when they enter in, you know, when they every time that they access the fight, the site, then they their names, they will be recorded, all the money that they pay and all the transactions, everything. So it's easy to have a system where you monitor the regulators to see whether they might be hitting the slope and probably becoming more of becoming problem gamblers. We're also going to provide the system for a self-diagnosis system where an individual, if they suspect or they have the feeling that they might be having problems or they might be getting an addiction to gambling, to diagnose themselves by sort of like some questionnaire to say, you know, if you answer these questions in the affirmative, then of course then you begin to have a problem. Then these are the institutions that you can contact to help you in terms of eliminating this addiction. There will also be a notice on the website of Internet Gamblers in respect of voluntary play exclusion, as it is also provided in the land-based casinos, that people can voluntarily, you know, exclude themselves. So you have also the system online to exclude themselves. And also the directions to where you can get treatment and probably the hotline number of the National Responsible Gambling Problem to assist you in terms of dealing with the addiction. On the money laundering, I think I've touched on it, especially in respect of the process for the registration of players and the verification of their identity by way of identification and probably, you know, confirmation of addresses and stuff. And also the establishment of player accounts and verification of nominated accounts. I've also touched on those accounts too. We also place an obligation on the internet providers to report suspicious and illegal activities. what we're also going to provide for is for the interactive providers to have to create a window for the regulator to monitor online real time, so that they can also detect whatever activities that are unbecoming that you know players might be engaged in, especially with a view to eliminating or preventing possibly money laundering and the big fear now is also on terror financing, which we accept that we have to ensure that this activity does not present an opportunity for people to disguise the source of funding, you know, as if it's like gambling funding, but then it's for financing of their activity. The minister will also make provision for appropriate control systems, you know, in terms of money laundering, to ensure that the prevalence of money laundering is crushed. The scheme of the bill also provides for the conditions of awarding interactive license to be subject to commitment to social economic upliftment and the broad-based black economic requirement requirements. Since these since they are out, obviously, you know, all the companies that might want to be licensed to make available interactive gambling will then also have to comply with that. And another thing that we're saying that the board, since the licensing will be national, then it's going to be easy to say in terms of the policy that the providers will, when they license to for the board to say where are they going to locate their equipment, that will be done with a view to ensuring that you don't have everyone wanting to set up in housing, for instance, because you know it's the hub of you know financial people, but then they will be you know shown to maybe to go and set up maybe in some impoverished areas where they can also assist in terms of economic development projects on the in the areas that they set up on, and also in terms of any you know employment also you know to come up for those areas that they set on that they are facilities. In conclusion, one expects the impact of gambling to provide for setting fee and thereby enhance international competitiveness. When we looked at the regulation of interactive gambling, we felt that there has to be certainty as to what are you expected to do and how, you know, proper regulation. We're hoping that our bill and the regulations that are going to be prepared in line with the bill will also ensure that there is certainty and obviously then there is, you know, a competitiveness. We also saying that the regulation fund will provide revenue to the fiscal because, you know, companies will then be registered to conduct their business in the licensed manner and then will then pay tax and the money will then come back, not go out. We also saying that the regulation of will ensure accountability by the NG industry. Right now, we have got people that operate underground and there is no accountability and we have got a lot of people that are taken for the ride and people are really victimized in the process and there is you know, clearly no one is accountable, but then once you put in a system in place, then everyone would have to be accountable. And the regulation of India will also eliminate all these illegal operations, because then now they will be, you know, have to come out, you know, of the ground and they operate illegally. The system will also protect players, since we said that we want to make sure that people that play are treated fairly, and if they've got problems, they've got institutions that they could go to have their problems adjudicated. The regulation of Interpol will also provide for effective and transparent licenses, which is the golden thread throughout this framework, that people be licensed properly and obviously in a transparent manner, and which is in line with our constitution. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Member, it's now your time. Welcome to those who came late to the meeting. We will now interact with members or officials from the department. We must also note that this is just an initial person. A proper person will come to us when time comes for that. I've noted that put in his hand, Mr. Kamete, Mr. Mkono, and Mr. Sabir. Let's note it. Kureni, Kamete, Mkono, Sabir. Alright. Now let me ask my question. Let me say it even before I ask the question. I'm happy that there will be that notice that gambling is dangerous because one can be addicted to it. And if one is addicted, you take everything from home, people end up losing their houses, everything they had worked for, because they always think there's this money, there's that hope that this million is coming, but it never does come. I'm also saying it's good, but maybe you should just clarify to me how are you going, how government will make sure that the online problem is not taken to work, because many people who gamble don't have computers, they might be employed. And it will also be ranking with Telkom and becoming a loser as well. Because they can do that with Telkom, I know, but again, the loss. Let me ask one other question that is a problem in South Africa at the moment. In South Africa at the moment, there is a problem of corrupt practices, fraudulent acts, particularly, except I'm not being xenophobic here. I'm just saying, people come from other countries, for instance, are more clever than South Africans. And they are more advanced with technology. We must not hide that one. And they understand this better. What actions will government put to make sure that if those happen, they happen very, very little, or in fact, they should not even happen? And the issue of revenue, would it also assist this provincial growth as well? Thank you very much. Now I give to Mr. Kureni, followed by Mr. Kamete.
Yeah, Chair President, you have taken a few of my questions before I leave. Yeah, I'm thankful to be in this briefing. I just wanted to check when will this be placed before the NA? Of course, the chairperson has indicated that this is just a privilege briefing. The official briefing will come before. The question is relating to the situation that I understand that in the provinces, whenever we get there, once this becomes secondary, whenever we get there, you find as though this has never been there. as though there are no people who have been attending, been met and all that. And one is getting a sense that once you only end up briefing the committee, it's going to be the end of it. Whereas in essence, this is affecting people by and large. So I need really to check the level of readiness with your provincial counterparts in terms of this briefing. Because when you get there, you really find that there is no homework ever been done on this. Now, I am pretty sure that most members would agree with me that this piece of legislation amending the current bill is long overdue. People have been being ripped off in a big game, because I agree with the chairperson that there are these foreigners who are so much enticed our people to these fake schemes. I don't know as members how many correspondences we normally receive day by day attracting us to these things. So I'm saying it's out of question. It's clear to me it is necessary that this bill must be there as a protection to our vulnerable people. Oh my gosh, God, thank you.
Under definition on page 8, there's an issue about equipment and software. Now, the question would be, we so much advanced in technology, are we going to have a specific software dedicated to this? The present software or the special gadget that we're going to have. Now, taking into account that right now, without any specific gadget, we do have IG. So how then are we going to implement this and then monitor it? The issue of player account, is it going to be a separate account? It's my own savings account or check account. It will be an account that can be dedicated to this. And if it's going to be any of the two, where do financial institutions fit in? Because you're having money where it's supposed, and there's going to be a lot of transactions, you know, from this player to that player, even from one country to another country, and what impact does it have then on the players, even on the interest rate? And on page 10, on the player protection, definitely on the issue of dispute resolution, even in future would ask for more clarity and put some meat on that bone, because there's going to be country to country, player to player, and in certain cases, a matter can be taken to court, and which jurisdiction I'm going to use. Without both parties agreeing that, you know, they're committing themselves, they're going to agree on this. And on page 17, now provide revenue for the fifth card. Now, if people gamble, definitely the bottom line would be they want to get some money, whether we call it profit. Now, are these going to be taxable? If taxable, what's going to be taxable? Is it the profit or the capital that one needs to gamble? Thanks.
Thank you, sir. My colleagues have covered me. And it would appear that listening from them, this is indeed a progressive piece of legislation.
However, the guy that comes from the Bundus, you know, I'm not sure how progressive this piece of legislation is going to be in terms of my constituency, where I come from. You see, firstly, because I think the department has cited for prompting this, what prompted this actually was the fact that there had been no control measures before, so it was just, an open-ended thing. Now we're trying to implement, measures so that this can be regulated. And also that it required a lot of employment of resources before, but now what is going to be the situation? Will we have enough manpower resources to control it? Does it necessarily mean that because now it has been legislated, then we'll be able to have control over the processes? How do we enforce effectively those measures? And because I think we have a lot of role players, your banks, and they this borderless activity, concept as well. I may not be categorized as a vulnerable, but if I have access on the internet, the likelihood is that my kids at some stage, they might have access somehow, the way they are so clever these days. So how do we balance these things? My problem is that you might be saying, yes, you are protecting the vulnerable, but by actually making it an official activity, then you are also opening up can of worms so that people can really have access to those things. And the recourse to those redress for those that don't have the resources to go to appear before that gambling board, to go to court and stuff like that, how do we circumvent problems like those? Thank you.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, first I come late, I'm very sorry for that. And I want to thank the chairperson in part, Comrade Gamedi and Comrade Kolini, you have asked questions that today some of the things I wanted to ask about. But there is something which I would like to check further from one of the things said by the chairperson. In the areas I come from, it's not only a question of people using almost every bit of what they acquired during their days of employment. They go to the extent of even begging with their wives. Listen to that. Wives. Now, I don't know the other part. Now, in that regard, I don't know, it's more of the issue that was raised by Colonel Kolini at some stage. How much education are we hoping to get underway for people to understand the implications of all what they are doing, including that information which has been indicated was made available to say gambling is addictive, blah, blah, blah. But that element of the human factor having to be unilaterally brought into the picture, and if it happens, he loses, the one who values the wife, the value starts. And in the end, the man is killed. And the wife doesn't know. He only sees the van coming. And it's a war. So how do you get these understood by our people thoroughly that it has to do with money and money only? Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. Yeah, we're happy that at least the slaughter you say is forensic. But you can use your everything. If the jackpot this week is 20 million, you might use 1,000 rand, hope it wins. And again, carry forward. And this hope becomes even bigger. So I think we should just say gambling is gambling. Whether it's lotto, which is only 250, or it is betting, when you go to Canada in Cape Town or whatever. I think what Leah is saying is very much important. But our people are forever trying luck. Some win, some don't. Well, you see, it's Mukono wins today. I have a hope that tomorrow it will be me. But tomorrow never comes. That's the problem we have. Remember, gamble as well. It's not only the ordinary people in the church that do that. Now, yes, we've been to many casinos. You'll read what say that you must gamble. If you want to say that, gamble, say whatever, but. No. But your mind should be conscious on whatever you're doing. So I think those are some of the things. This has to be introduced to us. I think part of what has to be said to us is how to make sure that education. But you see, I don't want to say we will be able to tell people. People must understand even before you start gambling. Because once you start, you don't stop. Anyway, you have a point with them.
Thank you. I will respond to some of the questions, and my colleagues will also help me in addressing some of the questions. Firstly, perhaps I'm not going to go on any particular order here, but I'll attempt to address, you know, most of them, and then I'm not going to keep it in here. The question of whether there is a possibility that you can take this thing, the problem, to work. It's a crucial one, because it's on the internet. If you have internet, then you can gamble, provided you have registered accordingly. What companies do, because it's something that will take your time, you know, you're supposed to be waiting, but then you're gambling. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, that it's happening here, but then some companies, what they have, because there is an insurance scheme to block some sites, especially at work. You think that the sites you block them, there is an electronic system, a software system that blocks certain sites. Any employer can block certain sites if they feel that the employees are accessing. Most of us who work in government, there are sites, probably like pornographic sites, that are blocked, that you cannot access. If the employer feels that, you know, this people are spending their time on interactive gaming than working, obviously then they, you know, he can have the software, they can block the site, then they cannot be able to gamble there. It's the same thing that the other thing is, obviously there are no computers, most people do not have computers. This legislation seeks to regulate the activities of your mostly intellectually probably up to people that you know are high-tech people that are used to the internet. Your men in the street, most of them will want to see the money, will want to see the token, putting then they will still be going to the casinos, the land by casinos, or, you know, betting on lotto and stuff. I don't think that you're going to have a considerable number of people, especially who don't understand the high-tech facilities. Even, you know, some do not know even how to operate them, but obviously we're moving to a situation where you increase the number of people who have got that skills to use the internet and stuff. But currently, we don't think that it's going to impact on a number of people, especially your downtrodden, you know, people in the poverty line, people that really do not have the luxury of these facilities and stuff. We don't think really that it's going to target. But even so, if by any chance they're able to access them, then we're saying, firstly, in terms of the scheme, first my answers might jump into answering some of the questions, but I'll indicate when I come to that. In terms of the scheme, one, when you register, you'll be issued with a PIN number, which is your PIN number. That PIN number, going to help in a number of ways. One is going to help that your kid at home who, you know, school children normally access the internet now for their homeworks and stuff. People at home have got, you know, computers that are used for kids to do whatever that they need to do. But they cannot get into the site unless they've got the code. So it's the responsibility of the parent, you know, who's registered, who plays the internet gambling points for amusement purposes or to gamble a bit, to make sure that the kid does not access the thing, because he will be given something to say you prevent anyone else to be able to play. Because once you put in that PIN code, then you will be that person will play. So if you put it, you know, anyhow, you know, it was access to the kids or people that are vulnerable in any way, then it's difficult really for the legislation to go that far to legislate for your responsibilities at home. But at least we have to try to ensure that it's not accessible by anyone. If given people with cell phones with access to internet and cell phone, they're still not going to be able to access it unless they are registered and be given, if you see the proper PIN code. Another thing that we have been discussing, you know, to prevent people from gambling their salaries and possibly their wives too, is to say once you register, you're going to, in terms of the regulations, we're thinking of providing for some sort of a commitment. You commit a certain amount to say, I'm putting a limit, you put it in the system to say, I'm going to play for 2,000 rand a month. I'm just giving an example. And the system, obviously, once you exceed that amount, it will kick you out. But then, even before then, the system, we're going to ensure you, because the board is going to register and it's going to test the system. The system will put all the fees to ensure that it's going to continuously indicate to you that, you know, you're just losing too much money, you know, you've got to, you know, think of some other ways, or you're going to reach a limit and then obviously you're going to kick out. So it won't allow a situation where people will keep on throwing money from their accounts and putting on new player accounts and playing, you know, continuously. The system will decide that it's going to have. Obviously, there are going to be like some pop-up signs to say, you know, if because there's electronic monitoring of your players for the purpose of phone, it's going to give you some indications or signs that you might be hitting that, you know, you might be lighting down now, you might be you're losing money, you're becoming, you probably need to check, you know, that you might be having a problem or this is becoming an addiction and all that stuff. To also come to the question about the player account is a separate dedicated account. The player account is an account that you open when you register with the internet provider, with the gambling house online. They're going to have that account. It's only you and the internet provider that have got access to that player account. It is an indicated account which will have money there. The money will be used for transactions, that is for gambling, the money that is there. But then you have the nominated account. Your nominated account is your account in the bank, your normal FNB account, that's your nominated account. But that account you're saying to the internet provider, the money, because you won't pay cash into the player account with the internet provider online. You're going to transfer money from your account in the bank or to your one or two or some of the accounts in the bank that are registered, that are nominated, that are, in terms of the system, doesn't pick them up to say these are the accounts that the flow of funds can go to. There is no any other account that the flow of funds can go to. So the flow of funds, the trade is easy because there are only these accounts that all the flow can go into. So you cannot have like money that are, also the system is going to ensure that the player account will have the maximum, which the minister is going to prescribe, of the money that can fit in the player account. You cannot have like 100,000 or, you know, money that you, there will be a maximum, and if it's in excess of that maximum, the provider will have to transfer the money into your registered account. So there will always be that, you know, a trade of funding around the accounts that are there. Taxation. The issue of taxation has not been resolved yet. Actually, we've also been blamed for not putting any provisions into the bill. It was precisely because the issue of taxation, it's not a problem in interactive gambling on is the problem in gambling in general, because you have some, like in the bookmaker business, for instance, you have got people that are, what you have, you've got a punter tax where people, you know, you tax, you know, the bets and stuff, while in some other games, you tax the gross profit. We've been looking there are presentations and discussions at the level of the National Gambling Policy Council to look at rationalizing the whole issue of taxation to say, people, whether you're involved in online or bookmaking or interacting, there has to be some sort of equity when it comes to taxation. Because also in the submissions that we received when we put this bill up for comment, was that we should look at the issue of taxation, because people feel that some people might gain an unfair advantage, you know, and especially land-based casinos will argue that they have invested a lot of money, you know, putting in the equipment and infrastructure and everything. They should not be taxed more than the people that, you know, operate online. So we're looking at this whole issue of taxation, and by the time we have the bill introduced, it will be looked at, and consultations will have been done, and it will be reflected as to what appropriate taxation that is going to be fair to the people in the interest. And of course, also if you also have a hope of attracting even external companies to operate, they will also look at what taxation system you have. If we see that about them, they will ensure that you've got a taxation system that is such that if they look at whether they're going to go to Antigua or South Africa, probably they'll go to South Africa, you know. And obviously even the players, if you begin to tax the punter, some will say, well, I come from a jurisdiction where you tax the operator, not me. Why do you tax me, not the operator? So we're going to look at those whole issues of taxation, not just only in this. And of course, in terms of when will this be placed in the National Assembly, we're hoping that we'll have it introduced officially in May, because right now we for the next three months most, we'll be dealing with these consultations, the industry, the regulators, and also, you know, people like other government departments like Treasury, also looking at this issue of taxation system. So we're looking at it like being introduced under May when all these other measures have been taken off. And in terms of the level of readiness with provincial counterparts, We also, I think in a week or so, we have scheduled also a workshop to go on this, but it's not just the first workshop, to go through their comments on it and then what is their feeling about this draft, because we've been engaging them probably far, we've been engaging them more than we've been engaging the industry, because we have said that this is this bill that has been published actually has the input of the provinces and some government departments like your Treasury, your SARS, and Reserve Bank, and some that have got responsibilities in terms of this. So we're going to continuously engage them in terms of finding, you know, solutions and looking at how we can have it, the enforcement, how we should take this, because we accept that the enforcement is a very important issue that needs to be taken care of, and obviously provinces are very crucial in terms of enforcement, even if we have said that the overall, the primary responsibility lies in the board, but then we're encouraging that a lot of enforcement activities need to take place provincially, hence we provided for the delegation of a host of functions that can be dealt with, you know, in the provinces. The licensing, what we're saying in terms of, the question is more like the correct practices and the fraudulent acts, which, you know, foreigners are now known for, you know, being good at, you know, because they are really, you know, they are advanced in technology. But the system that we're going to have is the equipment and the software will be tested to ensure that it's not manipulated. and the board has the power to do inspections, and they won't be saying we're coming to do the inspections. They will have access to the premises any time. They don't tell you that you're coming, then they will be able to come at any time and do the inspection. What is going to happen, we're still toying with the idea, because even government itself is not capacitated to deal with a lot of these technical testing and stuff, but what you can do, what other jurisdictions do, they have got laboratories that they are accredited to do the testing, to say, before you start operating, submit this information to ensure that it doesn't manipulate whatever the results that may have got to come up. And at regular intervals, say on a 6-month or so basis, then it has to be always tested to ensure that it still feeds, it still, you know, does not, you know, it's not easily manipulated. So those issues in terms of the testing and the licensing, because it will be licensed, the equipment and the software. And obviously, once it's licensed, then there will going to be a renewal of those licenses every time. And every time you apply for the renewal, it will be subject to testing to ensure that it's not easily manipulated. So even the people that come with this, ulterior motives to really take our people for the ride will not find it easy. We hoping that we're going to tighten that space really high. On the question of the resources to control and enforce this activity, I indicated earlier that it is very crucial, and we cannot, for instance, since the board is of this primary view, the board cannot come and say that they have got the resources now. They don't. But that's what we intending to build, and of course to enlist the assistance of our provinces, because most of them have been doing a lot of enforcement and control of the people that are registered. But then they will have to begin to develop that kind of capacity. They have also taken that into account in their budgeting processes to say we need this additional resources for the purposes of our enforcement and control. Like I indicated also that since we don't even have the capacity to do all the technical, you know, checks and inspections, obviously they will have to engage people that even on contract basis that are going to ensure the technical compliance and stuff. What the minister is going to do is going to prescribe the technical standards of the software and equipment, and that software will be inspected and to verify, check against those technical standards. And obviously, we'll also involve the SAS, SADS, you know, to ensure that it's within the acceptable standards in terms of the technical specifications that are required in the Republic. So there's going to be a collaboration and effort, a collaboration of a number of role players to ensure that it's been done. And of course, on the other level, we've got the Reserve Bank that ensures that the exchange control regulations are not flaunted, you know, in terms of the flow of funds into the Republic and out, because then there is a system which they have currently, you know, that, you know, the threshold of the money is that, you know, if you take the money out, then if it exceeds a certain threshold, obviously, then you have to answer to them as to, you know, where is it going and, you know, what you're doing and stuff like that. So they are also on board in terms of also reporting to the regulator, you know, the actual flow, you know, especially of money, you know, across our borders. The other challenge which the gambling board as a regulator will have to face is because we have provided for them to educate our people to come up with proper education and awareness campaign. Obviously, we accept that you know, the notices that you put online and, you know, directions as to where you go when you've got a problem, back diagnosis to deal with a problem, they not nearly as waterproof. People still, you know, will still probably have problems, but they will have to be complemented by actual education, and in our summit, they've undertaken to come up with a program, you know, for awareness, you know, to, you know, which is going to, you know, be countrywide, you know, to say the effect not only of interactive gambling, interactive part, but we're looking at gambling in general, because the problem we foresee most of the problem, we accept that most of the problems are mostly on the land-based gambling and then interactive gambling, but then obviously, you know, that cannot be ruled out, that there will also be problems, even if the people that play online are the people that will regard as intellectual astute, but they will still, you know, have problems now and then. So I think there has been the commitment from the NPG to prepare some sort of a program. Obviously, that will be in consultations with the provincial counterparts, because they will be working with them in terms of taking it to the people to say, these are the dangers, how do you see the signs, and what do you do, you know, and obviously, I mean, discouraging, especially people that do not have really the money that they can risk in terms of gambling. We know that people chase, you know, the slots, like, you know, things that they're going to win, and, you know, by the end of the day, everything is gone. No, I will end there and perhaps maybe any of my colleagues can, you know, add something, and if there is anything else, then we'll also go to go through that.
Thank you, Mr. Muka. Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to add also to say to the committee members that although we finalized we closed the date for the comments for the public on the 12th of February, the comments that are made today by the committee will be taken into account, will also be incorporated in the main comments that we've received. We are noting all the issues that are raised and we will take them into account. Going to the questions, most of the issues have been covered by my colleague. I'm just going to add one or two issues. On the issue of fraudulent practices, we do acknowledge that there is a problem of technology, as we have indicated, Chairperson, that foreigners are more advanced than we are. But also, within our legislation, we are planning to have this aspect where the operators will be reporting irregular activities. If, for example, because the system will be monitored on a continuous basis. It's unlike now when people are gambling on the internet. We don't even know the extent of these fraudulent activities. So maybe what should make us comfortable is the fact that once we have this legalized and legislated, we will be able to pick up these abnormal activities that are taking place. And also, the verification and registration of players will be a very important aspect that will ensure that those who are playing in these activities are more regulated. We are aware of who they are and the level of activities that they normally engage in. And on the question of will the revenue assist with provincial growth, currently all the revenue that is collected from various measures, whether it's traffic fees, whether it's lotteries, they are employed in the fiscal, they are adding value to different provinces. Although we cannot say that if maybe per year this industry would have, say, 12 billion, this 12 billion will be divided so and so in different provinces. The assumptions that we're having is that given that all the coffers that are coming from the fiscal is adding to the economy of the republic, this also will add to various provinces, to various programs, including the education programs that we need to address some of the challenges that we are having in this in the country. Regarding the question on equipment and software, interactive gambling software equipment is all the equipment and facilities that are utilized in these gambling activities. In terms of gadgets, to be specific or to say which gadget will be used, I don't think that is a question that we might be able to respond to, because I think different games will have different requirements. But what matters is that all these games, as Brian has indicated, will be tested, and there will be licensing requirements that opponent has not adhered to. So at the end of the day, this will be monitored, this will be controlled, and there will be requirements that all the licensing for the software operators, for the equipment itself, that they have to take into account. And also to bear in mind that currently, as we're speaking, we don't even know exactly what kind of equipment are being used. Maybe the usage is not even conducive to the Republic in terms of things that the illegal activities we might be encountering now as we speak. And there was a question on the role of the financial institution regarding the player account and the nominator account. The financial institution features, when you're talking about a nominator account, which would be your typical banking account, whether it's a saving or check account, your F&B standard bank account. When you are registered, you have a PIN number in your code. The activities that will be taking place will also involve your account number. That's where your winnings will be paid. That's where your money will be drawn when you're playing. And also, there is the FICA requirements that have to be met. So this will also be regulated and it will be monitored. It's not like it will be open for corruption and so forth. On the issue of dispute resolution and the jurisdiction, the National Gambling Board currently, this will be managed from a national framework with the National Gambling Board. But on the issue of people who may not be able to receive recourse, this issue will be catered into the legislation, because it's true that not everybody will be able to access the dispute resolution mechanism at that level. And the issue on the education, we also have a national responsible gambling program. We do have capacity currently in that program, in the sense that the different challenges that are experienced by gamblers, problem gamblers, are addressed through this program. So we will also tap into the resources by this program to link with our players who will be playing on the internet. So the other education programs will also be catered. And I think, that's most of the issues that I can cover for now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, thanks. Sorry that I was delayed. Unfortunately, I couldn't control it. Chair, this is the second gambling thing within a week coming across our bowels here. I'm getting very worried. You know, casinos, you've got to get into your car or your train, a taxi, and get there. It's an effort. Last week, we had gambling is coming to your corner store. Today, we've got gambling coming right into your house. Husband and wife, they know the numbers of their bank account. Within an hour, a husband or wife can deplete their whole salary or whatever they have in their bank account. By the time any kind of help comes from any area, I'm speaking from experience, there are a number of people that I'm busy with right now who have gambling problems. And none of these things have touched them so far, and there's serious gambling problems in these three or four families I'm busy with. Where are we going? We bring this gambling right into the house now. At night, while you're sleeping, your spouse can be gambling away your money. Time you wake up, you have nothing. And this is a serious problem. You don't have to get in your car to go to the casino. You don't even have to walk now to the corner shop. You can deplete all the resources right in your little office or in your council. That's all I want to say. I'm aghast at this, actually, and I will not be told that we cannot control the gambling that's going on at the moment, which is irregular. There must be ways and means whereby we have systems where we can control that illegal gambling. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. And I also need to apologize for my late coming to the department as well as to this commission. My question is on page 14, problem gambling. Is it linked to bullet point two, child diagnosis system? I need to know who is going to formulate the questionnaire. And this self-diagnosis system, does it refer to the player? That is it the criteria that is going to say no to others because they do not fit the criteria in the self-diagnosis system, and is going to reject others who doesn't fit up to the criteria, or is it going to be a holistic thing that is going to include everybody? The kind of question that's going to come from the questionnaire, can we have a slight indication, because I'm very interested in that. I would like to know what kind of question is going to come out of this questionnaire. Thank you very much, Oliver Chair.
I think the question was responded to, but maybe you can repeat your answer. How you control access to one PC or account.
Thank you, Mr. Perhaps, let me go back to the rationale for this legislation. We've got a slide where we said where we're coming from, why this legislation. We conducted the research and it was clear from the research that the activity is taking place. And then what was left was for government to say, what do we do about it? And the report, which we have a copy of this, a big report, which has it set out all the factors and the issues that were taken into account to arrive at the conclusion that perhaps it's better to regulate than to toilet it outright. I think one of the issues that came, one of the things that came out strongly was it will be much more costly in terms of the cost-benefit analysis that was conducted to enforce the prohibition than to regulate. Costly, not necessarily in terms of money, but also in terms of the diversion of government resources. Today we have got critical areas of decay in our community that will want government resources, especially enforcement resources, to be channeled to, then to do more like your raid dawn, you know, in the morning in people's homes and in internet cafes. And that was one of the critical, you know, factors that propelled government to propose the regulation other than the outright prohibition. We accept that we probably have too much gambling going on, but we ask ourselves realistically that what do we do then? I mean, are you going to sustain a prohibition for how long? Because there is a trend that we have observed internationally, and South Africa is part of the global world, that people are more like, things are becoming more comfortable with dealing with most of their affairs on the internet, be it ordering their groceries, be it like, you know, their kids schooling, and a lot, and it's getting there, and this thing of access and the games that are there, it's not easy to prevent that. But what we're saying in terms of our scheme is that we're going to protect the people that play on the sites that are registered by, you know, the government. The scheme seeks to legalize interactive gambling. That means that you can play now with a provider situated in Southern, for instance, PixPix. We know that, you know, a lot of people play with PixPix because it is available on the internet. There is not even a need for, you know, personalized PIN codes and passwords. You're able to get in and out at ease, and there is no one who's protecting you. If you lose, you lose. If you win, you like it. But we're saying that people can play with those sites once they legalize it, but they will not access our protection. They will only be protected if they play on the sites that we legalize, that we register. And we'll ensure that the sites that we register, the people that make those facilities available are going to play more, are going to do it in terms of our rules. And we'll try, with assistance of the committee and the industry group and all the regulators, to ensure that our rules are such that, I wouldn't say that they are foolproof, but are such that things like, you know, people gambling their, you know, salaries away are going to be minimized to a great extent. So we decided that we'll need to come up with a regulatory system that is going to be such that it minimizes the damage that is already there, or it avoids, other than saying that accept that the damage is there and then seek ways of ensuring that people do not anymore, because we accept that there is an addiction, you know, in this activity. And most of the people probably that do it maybe are even addicted already, but we don't have a system of identifying them and helping them because they are doing it underground. But we think that now when we come to a system which, where we can identify those people and make the thing like above board and be able to do it such a way that they can even get help if they stay. So it was in that sense that we said, even though there might be a bit much of it, but perhaps to say you will want to enforce the prohibition might be costing government and the people more than to say those that can and should, but do it in the right way. The other question is, before I get to the other question, it's the issue of passwords and the PIN code. I'm not too sure whether there is much really that you can do about that, because as the regulators, we have said that you need to also take responsibility for people around you to say if in the same way as we keep our bank card with ourselves, you don't want someone to take your card and you know, withdraw cash, but then you need to, you know, take responsibility to show that people that are not registered, they are not supposed to be doing it, because they will even eventually be playing with your money, not with their money, because the money will be in your account, which you will have pulled or transferred from it. So it's your money. So we think that people also need to take responsibility to ensure that, you know, they it's not open to anyone. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy really for us to legislate such that we're going to legislate on people's responsibilities. You know, we think that we put these measures in place, but then within those measures take responsibility. On the issue of the self-diagnosis system, the idea has been mooted. What happened is we had a meeting. We met with the people from the National Responsible Gambling Program. Yes, who are accredited by the National Gambling Board to look at all the issues of National Gambling, of responsible gambling, and to come up with measures that will, you know, ensure that there is that responsibility for the people that, you know, play. And they've also, you know, suggested that perhaps this is one of the many ways that in this framework can also assist. we have not yet finalized it in the sense of saying that these are the actual questions that are going to be asked. But what will be, you know, what we propose that they what needs to be done is the questions should be such that they will give you the warning sign. They wouldn't really at the end of the day say that you have a problem, you are addicted or what, you know. Because you've got different levels of addiction, you know. So sometimes this helps to say perhaps you need to check yourself before you get to the last level where it becomes really difficult to treat you, to say there is a system to only continue to see whether you are hitting the snack. We think that it's going to give you warning signs to say you might be hitting, you know, the snack now, you might be there, you might be getting into the, you know, a serious level of addiction or, you know, see, you know, scale down whatever it takes. But the system would decide that it's going to be not biased, especially from the cultural, linguistic and racial, you know, background should be such that it is an independent system that we probably going to commission, and in there is going to be some sort of a research or a survey which is going to assist in terms of posing the right questions so that people can, you know, be able to see, and then it's going to give you those warning signs. But there is going to be a sort of a survey, we're going to provide that by regulation after having consulted, you know, with even the people in there, the people that are dealing with this problem day in and out, people that are regulating, people in the industry, they're going to assist, because we accept that sitting in Pretoria and in government, we develop policies, but the nitty-gritty is on how to really, you know, go about to do the things. We rely also on the people on the ground, people that regulate, people that have got the people that they deal with all the time who come with problems, they know, you know, what is it. So it's something that it's going to be a holistic kind of system, but we have not really devised it yet. We have discussions with the Restoring Council that is going to assist, and then we're going to have like independent people. Hopefully, like I indicated, that it's going to be a balanced system in terms of your cultural linguistic and all the problems. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. On the question about people who will be gambling, effectively using all their income and their salaries, there's another system or another legislation that we're proposing on the regulations to limit, for people to indicate their limits in terms of how much they will be playing. Say for a month, the person will say, for this month, I commit that I'll use 1,000 rand. And then by so doing, having this kind of measure, it will be easier to detect if a person is a problem gambler. Because if you set 1,000 and you end up going in and spending something like 5,000, that does indicate that the system will not allow you even to do that. So we are coming up with measures that will assist people who cannot control themselves in terms of this problem. And also the education awareness programs that we are proposing to have will also assist to alert people in terms of the dangers that this easy access of internet gambling will have in their lives. And what I would like to add and highlight to the committee as well is that although we are saying that internet gambling is going to add to the industry, gambling industry, many South Africans as we speak now do not have access to the internet. The internet is estimated to be 3.5 million are estimated to have access to the internet, and we are a population of 45 million. So although the problem gambling or the gambling industry will grow in terms of once we legalize it, it will not mushroom as large as people who have access to go to the casinos, because people who go to the casinos can be anybody, even somebody who earns a very basic income, even somebody who's just earning a pension, because you can just walk in, no one detects you, no one checks who you are. So although this is more, it's going to introduce other sorts of problems like alcoholism, like addictions to credit cards, or even addictions to lotteries.
it's not going to be as huge as maybe we project it to be. The only thing that we are saying is that given that it's there, we should not ignore it. We might as well make it open because we don't know the underlying problems that are there, given that it's now illegal and informal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We want to thank you for today. We will meet again when we have the bill introduced to the NCOP. Hopefully it will be introduced to the NCOP side first so that the long process that we normally take is understood by the department. The fixed side is quite long. And you see, one of the problems we always have is if the bill starts in the MA, particularly if it's a 76, it sort of pressurizes us. Now we have to leave every other thing and just concentrate on that. So we want to propose to you to ask the minister to introduce it in the MA. But that's up to the minister. Thank you very much, everyone.
No, sir, I know it's unparliamentary to speak after your boss has spoken. But because the department says they will take take into consideration our comments, I was going to also say, please, they must make sure that my spouse doesn't become a spy thing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Excuse me, could I have the name of the delegation? Would it be possible for me to have a digital copy of the open set? It's just on our website.
Yes, sure.
Okay. Can I put it
in? If it's opinion, maybe just put it.
Oh, well, I don't know if it's
that one.
That's that one.
That's
the one that you have.
Okay.
No, thank you very much.